Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 605 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is the 15th of November, 2020, and we are hoping for what will be a largely smooth podcast for you. If you're joining us live, we are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. That is the best coast. 4 p.m. on the East Coast and 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. We are on twitch.tv. We are on YouTube as well. So just look us up, OC Podcast, all one word. Today we've got a cavalcade of people. We have the blurry one, Robin Tate.
That is President-elect Robin Tate, if you don't mind. That's how I go. I think anybody goes President. By that. Elect. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, let me restate this. Yes. President elect.
Yeah, from
the blurry one,
and I'm from the office of the president of the elect as well. I think anybody can say that at the moment because you know just that's the reality. So hello everybody, Robin Tate here in Northern Ireland. How are yous? You hope you are well. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Robin. Also on the podcast today, sporting a spiffy blue shirt, not blue skin, Peachin.
It's vice president, actually, Greg.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a cabinet position but me.
Yeah, I'm not. But, you know, just to keep things simple, the legit, you know. Hello.
Hello. You know, and I just made fake news because, Pete, you actually do have blue skin underneath that shirt. So that's a fact. There you go. See? Just saying, I'm lying all over the place. The one thing I won't lie about is the lovely Kim Woods on the podcast. Hello, Kim.
Thank you. Hello. Pardon my voice if I sound a little weird. I'm fighting off a cold. It's not COVID, I swear to God. So, you know.
Everything is COVID, Kim. I'm sorry.
Right? Anymore. Right. Yeah, you can't get a cold without somebody screaming COVID. So, you know, here we are.
All right. COVID!
Right.
Hey. Quickly, happy birthdays. Let's throw out some happy birthdays to Stuart Lucky. He is turning 92 on the 16th. Stuart, happy birthday. Amazing. Hardeep Lali also on the 20th of this month, turning a very young 83. And he does not look a day over 81, if you ask me.
I just think of bottles of tequila when I think of Hards. Just...
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Hards was the man at the UK event last year at EGX, bringing a bottle of tequila, or buying a bottle of tequila, I should say. And we all suffered for that.
No.
No. It was great. It was awesome. And last but not least, Pete, the most important birthday we could possibly throw out there, Halo Combat Evolved 19 today.
Of course.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Master Chief is officially 19 today.
Yeehaw.
Should we maybe play a birthday song? Did we dare that?
For Master Chief? Oh, sure. Why not?
Happy birthday to you.
That's enough of that. I really don't like that.
I could have sung that myself.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's really bad singing.
All right. I won't do that. Yeah.
That's enough of that shit, please.
No. All right, hey, let's do some story time. There's lots to talk about. Let's get into it. Let's dive into it. This is going to be a fun show.
Hooray,
story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. Well, let's start with... I was going to go youngest... But then I think we should just go with a beauty versus age thing. So, Kim, you win that battle. You start first, and that's the beauty side of it.
Go I was going to say, yeah, because I can't win the youngest because Pete's younger than I am. But anyway, we'll go. Anyway, Oh, we talked about my cold. Yeah, you know, like I said, I've got a cold. COVID. So bear with me. Yeah. So I've got COVID. No. I got a new TV. I can't get the new console yet, so I went ahead and got me a new TV.
Let's talk about TV. Yes, this is exciting.
Okay, shall we? I originally had a 32-inch, like, this is full HD, but I'm a little sketchy with that. But anyway, I went ahead and bought a 43-inch Samsung, I'm trying to think, Series 7 Crystal Ultra High Def 4K, you know.
Nice.
All the bells and whistles, smart TV, which I guess I'm not actually using right now because I have my Roku hooked up to it, because I haven't yet figured out how to get all the apps and the home, they call it the home bar. You can't, like, get rid of apps, so I've got, like, Apple TV and a bunch of other shit in it that I would never use.
You can.
So I'm trying to decide if I...
You can.
You okay, can. Well, there's a process, but, yeah.
You go and do
all
the
right,
apps
well,
app.
All may have to
apps app, and then the settings up in the right-hand corner should be there. Should be a little settings
right, well,
thing.
I'll have to look into that, because if I can get rid of the apps I don't use and download the ones I do, I could do away with the Roku box. But it's neat, because the remote will work my Roku box. And it will also turn on my Xbox.
It's cool.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's the future.
Yeah. I know, right? You know, little things. But yeah, it showed up Tuesday because I wasn't expecting it to be here till Wednesday. Okay. And anyway, it showed up early. And it was funny because my, I call it an entertainment center, but my entertainment center is a set of industrial shelves, like out of a factory. It's
okay.
Cool. I like it. You know, it works for me. Anyway, I picked this big sucker up and went to set it on the shelves with my little 32-inch TV would sit, because I did all the measurements and it should have fit.
Right.
Yeah, it was too big. Too freaking big. And I thought, oh shit, I bought a TV that now will not sit on my shelf. Now what am I going to do? Then I thought, you know what? Wait, dummy. They're adjustable, the shelves. So I adjusted it down a couple of spots and there you go. It fits. And it's all good.
Perfect.
The only thing is, if I have to go to hook anything up in the back, I have to pull the TV down and set it on the floor in order to put the HDMI cables or anything like that in it, because I don't have enough space to like turn it around.
Yeah.
Minor
inconvenience.
You know, I'll just keep, you know, unplugging the HDMI cable from the Xbox and plugging it into the PlayStation. No big deal. You know.
Well, and yes, because you did have an HDMI switch at one point that was causing problems.
Those.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to switch it on to game mode, and because it comes with a game mode on the TV, which is kind of nice.
Right.
And it would go like to a black screen and not come back on, and you hear like these weird crackling noises, and I'm like, oh. Because I bought it. It's not brand new. It's an open box, but they claimed it was excellent. So right. I figured somebody bought it for the Super Bowl and decided they didn't like it, or maybe that's all they bought it for, so then they took it back. And saved me like $28, so I thought that was pretty good. But anyway, so I thought, well, fuck. Now I'm going to have to send this TV back. But no, it was the switch. I took the switch off and hooked up the other HDMI cable, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That was me too.
Like I said, I think So I think I'm just gonna have to, like I said, unplug the HDMI cable from the back of the Xbox to plug it into the PlayStation if I ever want to switch around. So,
but
no big deal.
Kim, right now you still have the old Xbox. You do have an HDMI input on the back of your Xbox. You could daisy chain that.
Hold on. Whoa. There's bound to be multiple HDMI ports in the back of your TV.
There are two.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there are only two. Now, why in the world, since we've all switched to HDMI, a lot of things run HDMI, why are there only two fucking HDMI connections on the back of the TV?
Yeah, I will tell you the reason for that. How much did you pay for your TV?
$261.
Okay.
That is why.
Ah,
okay. Your TV was very inexpensive because they didn't put a lot of extra little tidbits into it.
Well, you know, I could have bought a little bit higher one and it would have had three, but
yeah.
I'm like, you know.
No. I liked the way you were going with that and you're thinking, and you'll be fine.
Plus,
you'll be able to figure it out.
I can't buy a bigger TV because if I buy a bigger TV, it won't fit on my shelving, so...
Right.
I'll have to mount that sucker to the ceiling or something. I don't know. But
let's talk about the most important thing. So, Kim,
you
went from a previous TV, which I didn't realize, but you were actually, it was a 720p TV.
Yes.
So that used to be the old standard for HD, 720.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like one of the first flat screens to come out. Yeah.
You jumped from 720 to 4K.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's like freaking eyeball burning. I kid you not. It's like, holy shit. I mean, like I was showing you guys when I first hooked it up, like how shiny Geralt's armor was. And before, you couldn't really tell that. Or like in the menu screen when you start The Witcher, there's a woman in the back in that like barn thing back behind Geralt, and there's a woman that actually walks back and forth in that barn. I never saw her before. So it's the weirdest fucking thing. It's the weird things that you see that you never saw before. So, and the sound is great because I was hearing footsteps of a guy before he even come into the frame on the TV. I mean, it's great.
I always remember the day I went from a SCART lead on my Xbox 360 to an HDMI cable. I'd been playing, it was just not long after 360 was first bought and my Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 addiction. And that was just like, wow. It was just unbelievable. It went from muddy waters, like my stream, it went from muddy waters to this Christmas. And I'm sure it's the same thing. Even, with this 4K thing behind me as well, it's the same thing. It's just, I get it. The picture was good. The 1080p is good, but 4K, you just realize, like, wow. I mean, wow. Well,
And the jump from 720 to 4K is pretty intense. I actually was the same path as you, Kim. I used to have a 55-inch plasma that was one of the original flat-screen plasmas. It was a Mitsubishi Diamond Series. Huh? So it was supposed to be the business back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then I hung on to that for the longest time because it was a great TV. It had great blacks, that kind of thing. So I loved the picture. But, you could only do either 720 or I think it would do 1080i, which was okay. And then I went to a Samsung 4K and it was just like jaw-dropping. So I totally get it.
Mind-blowing, yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is I paid over $300-some for the 32-inch. Mm. And then I pay $261 for something that's way bigger and looks much better. And it's just like, and I bought it back in like 2011, I think. So it's just jaw-dropping, price difference, and everything else. It's crazy. So, I mean, and you'll find this funny. It even makes puppy dog pals look better.
I believe.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I always found the most jarring when it comes to 4K, like just watching any kind of TV or cinema, is when they're shot in film, the sharpness. For lack of a better way to put it, like TV shows used to have kind of a TV show look.
Yep.
And then when I started watching them in 4K, it was almost like I was watching like a raw, uncut version of the show because of how clear and how unprocessed the picture looks. Mm-hmm. No, happy to see you're in the 4K.
Welcome now to... if I could just score a console. I'm working on it,
It'll happen. It'll happen. I think
so because I'm supposed to get my nephew one too, and I'm kind of shit out of luck. So
yeah, well, I think supplies will start to be brought back in. I think you're going to see both console manufacturers pumping consoles in Black Friday. I guarantee they will have stock for the Black Friday sales.
They'd need to because I'm checking three times a day at the moment, and it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and I'm so annoyed even more with Amazon at the moment. Apart from today, they completely said, Northern Ireland isn't in the UK, and they're taking an absolute shitstorm from people in Northern Ireland today on the news. But they now have consoles on sale from independent sellers for £899.
Yeah.
They were on,
oh, it's crazy.
Was one of them. But this is Amazon. eBay, you'd expect it.
Yeah.
But Amazon, really? It's disgraceful. It really is horrible.
No, it is. It is. And it's problematic, if you ask me. But, oh, well.
I had to laugh at the one that they guys posted the other day, and they wanted, like, $5 shipping. And I'm like, and they wanted, like, $800-some for the console. I'm like, for that kind of money, you couldn't have thrown in the fucking shipping? I mean, come on now. What's $5?
Profit, have a little compassion
for people. You're gouging them with the console. Now you're going to gouge them for $5 for fucking shipping? I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a big enough asshole, I guess.
All right. Kim, anything else before we move on?
Let's see. My cat was sick, and I thought I was going to put him down. But no, it turns out he has IBS. I thought for sure he had kidney disease, and I already put one down for kidney disease. But no, the vet run a bunch of tests, like $230 worth of tests. And he called me up and he's like, yeah, right. He called me up and he says, no, he's got IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome. So right. That was interesting, to say the least. So that's good news. And I put up some new lights in the kitchen.
Okay.
We got these cabinets and they had lights that are supposed to go up underneath them, but they were wired. And of course, with my dad, and he's busy, and I don't have a fucking clue how to wire these things in. And I got tired of waiting. So Amazon, believe it or not, have these stick-up motion sensor lights. And they're, I don't know, about yay long. And they've got a little metal piece that you stick up on the cabinet, and these lights are magnetized. So I can take them down and like, not with batteries, but they recharge like your cell phone.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And they're like 10 bucks a piece. So I got two for the kitchen, and I got a couple for my closet, because obviously my closet also doesn't have a light in it. And you know how big of a pain in the ass it is in the morning, like at 5 o'clock, when you're trying to find a shirt in your closet, and you can't find it, and there's no light? Mm. Yeah. So, if you're in the market for some stick-up lights for your cabinet or your closet or whatever, Amazon's got some pretty good ones. So,
okay. Awesome.
Why did you just switch? Sorry, why don't you switch the light on?
I don't have a light. There is no light, so it's, you know, not one I can switch on. So, I mean, I have the big light, of course, above my head, but I have almost like a walk-in closet, and there's no light in there. So, unless I get my cell phone and turn on my flashlight, it can kind of be a pain. So, yeah. Okay, so these are nice. Like I said, they're magnetic. You can charge them. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway,
toys.
I think that pretty much covers everything.
Yeah.
It's all a week for it, apparently. New lights in the kitchen, a new TV, my cat's not going to die, so that's good, you know.
All right.
And
I've got coronavirus.
I've got COVID. So there we go.
Don't. Yes. Okay. Robin.
Yes.
Robin, what about you, my friend? What's been going on in your neck of the woods
today,
besides not being part of the UK?
For the last 24 hours, it has been raining like Noah was about to come. We have never seen as much water in the field in front of us. It's now up in our garden in that corner at the base of our driveway.
No. Wow.
The stream at the back is almost over flooded. The fields on each side are just like little lakes. It's unbelievable how much rain has came down. So, it's stopped a bit now, but I'd say that the water's going to keep coming. I don't think we're any chance of us getting flooded, but it's just been amazing. Amazeballs. The last week has been a very trying week for me in my little secondary hobby. I lost a lot of money in the stock market one day this week. It was kind of tough. Now, I did have a big week last week. And I'm still green for the week. I'm not red, but there was one day of this week. It hurt.
That's all it takes.
One day, I was $850 down in one day. Now, when I say one day, I'm usually trading for about an hour. And usually in that hour, I'm probably trading for 5 minutes. And the trades maybe last 45 seconds. So there might be four or five trades in that 10-minute period. So $850. And 400 of them was an accidental button press on the keyboard. So I use hotkeys. I have a little hotkey. So like F1, F2, F3, F4 is by 100 shares, 200 shares, 300 shares, 400 shares. Then I have stop losses in here. And then I have sell 25, 50%, cancel last order. And then a big red control F, kill everything. But my hand actually... I always sort of sit with my fingers on the button. So I thought I'd sold everything.
Right.
And I looked up into my sell window and there was still another 400 shares that have been sitting there.
This is why seniors should not have their finger on the button.
I'm going, sold! Go! Switch the machines back on! it was trading places. So, no, thankfully, I didn't lose the house, but it's a very... It's a very, very steep learning curve. I didn't end up green. I actually ended up green for the week. I wasn't down over the whole week. But one day, just to wipe out $850. Now, as you know, Greg, I did have a fabulous week the week before.
Right.
And it was in thousands and thousands.
So you're sitting fine.
So, but scary. It's how quickly it could all go very, very wrong. Dove, yeah. Okay. I'm continuing to enjoy The Right Stuff. Really good. Comes out weekly. It's a good TV series up all about spacey men and Russians and their real lives. It's not so much about the science or the rocket. It's more about the drama and the relationships with the wives and the astronauts themselves. And so that's, I find it really, really interesting. Now, I've been, I don't know, I went through Michael Caine's autobiography a few months ago, and I did talk about it to say that I absolutely loved it, and I thought it was very interesting, sounded like a really nice chap. And there was one film that he had made called Youth, and it won a few awards, but it didn't win big, big awards. And in his autobiography, it says that it was one of his favourite performances of his life. And so, so it's him, there's Harvey Keitel, Rachel Weisz, a few other big names in it. And the story is about a composer, conductor who's retired, and he's in Switzerland in this retreat. You can't quite work out whether it's a home or a spa or therapy, but they do get doctor's checks. They get massages and they get entertained. It looks for very rich people that can afford this. And Judith and I watched it last night, and I just got it. I got it. It was really quite strange in places, but I just thought it was fabulous. Fabulous. So I would thoroughly recommend. It's about him. The Queen asks him to perform some stuff that he wrote back years ago, and he didn't want to do it. So the Queen's emissary keeps coming to ask, will he perform in London and do this? And it's not him. And it's about his relationship with film producer Harvey Keitel, his daughter, his wife who's estranged, and all the characters around it, and even the ones that work in the hotel spa. Really, really, really good. Can't recommend it enough. So that's that. And again, just before we came out here, The Queen is back on. The Crown. The Crown, the new series of The Crown has started today. We've watched the first episode. Quite annoyed, not annoyed. They're all out at one go. I do like the weekly thing. I think binge watching, you know, you watch it and things are gone straight away. You know, everybody watches it, has a bit of fizz for a month, and we all forgot about it because we all binge watched it. But I like the week going back to the weekly thing. Anyway, The Queen is back, and the Irish bastards are here at last, along with Margaret Thatcher and the IRA, and make their untimely appearance. Northern Ireland seems to be in every fucking film that you can, TV series. We have to appear somewhere. Someone has to mention Belfast in every single film on earth. That's always the worst bits, unusually. Anyway, yeah, so I'm looking, we enjoyed that. That's good. It's very interesting. I don't know how much truth is all in it, but it is a very interesting look inside the royal family. And busy with work, about to just go into a 2-week period here. It's crazy busy. I got through the last bit. And but once we get to the end of November, that should be about me. And yeah, I should have dominion over everything.
Okay.
No, Pete. No cat death this week.
No, the animals were safe for 1 week.
No, no, don't. don't.
Not going there, nope. Pete. No. Pete, help me out. What's been going on in your neck of the woods, Pete?
I'm like Kim. I've got coronavirus, which is not
fantastic. It's just, we are the Super Spreader show. That's the name of the show now. Super Spreader.
Right now on my screen, Pete. Oh, you froze. You're moving again, but you stuck there. You looked like you were having an orgasm. It was great.
Well, he did want a quickie earlier.
It was one of these.
So. So, aside from coronavirus, Pete.
Yeah, it's not coronavirus. I just got, you know, when you feel like the soul's been sucked out of you, and I'm a ginger, I haven't got a soul. So
that's called coronavirus, for the record. All
right. One of those. But I'm perking up. I haven't even had a drink for like 5 days. Well, this would be the fifth night, but I've got a rum and coke.
This is the problem. Yeah. You haven't been drinking. That is the problem, Pete.
Yeah, that's
the problem. You see, when you go through withdrawals, Pete, you feel sick.
I stopped drinking because I was sick. Anyway, I broke up from work for a week. which is what I'm really happy about. I needed a break, man. I was getting tired. But anyway, I've been dipping into... that's wrong. I've been watching Anne with an E, which is a TV program. Oh, I didn't want to be dipping into Anne, really, did I? I've been watching Anne with an E, which I mentioned last week. And because Greg hasn't listened to the program, it's a period drama. Is about an orphan called Anne, and she goes to move in with an older brother and sister who do take her under a wing. And it's a bit of a period drama, very light-hearted, but we've got completely sucked into it. And we're on the third season now. I think it wraps up at the end of this one. It's really good. So, I've been watching that. And my son was 8 on Friday.
Who ate him? Those bloody cannibals are everywhere.
I'm not the only one that went for that.
So, do we have to turn you in for having a gathering?
absolutely not, no. There was just me, Leo, and Shell. So we just had a very small but nice little party for him. We had a nice day. It's under the circumstances, family can't come together. So
in New York, they would have sent the SWAT team after you.
Well, he's allowed to come to my house, so that's
not fine. Not in New York, he's not. Anyway, sorry, continue on, Pete. So, how old?
He's 8.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, bless him. That's so, awesome. I haven't really been up to much else, to be honest, apart from playing video games, which we'll talk about soon. So, that's me, Greg.
Okay. I'll start with the smaller stuff first. So, Mandalorian... I've been watching it. I will say, second season started off great. Really good first episode of second season. And the last couple have just been kind of okay. Not like wowing me. Mm-hmm. And I get the Yoda character, the little baby Yoda, as being a kind of an important... I mean, it's for the whole series, it's kind of like the guiding light to what the Mandalorian's doing. But I honestly hate Baby Yoda.
Really?
I really want...
When he was eating the eggs last week, did you not laugh? The cheeky little scamp?
Hello, spoilers. Oh, we're not supposed to be giving spoilers here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cadbury's cream eggs.
I mean, yes, there's cute little adorable things to him. Don't get me wrong. But I want... my Star Wars to be Rogue One Star Wars, not Jar Jar Binks Star Wars. And Baby Yoda reminds me of Jar Jar Binks Star Wars, and that's not the direction I want. So there.
Okay,
I hate Baby Yoda.
The only person I know that does not like Baby Yoda. So
I get it. You know, it is a puppet. It's hard to separate that. There's a couple of characters like the girl with straggly hair in Fame. Who's the mechanic at the port, a regular character. Her character seems quite forced to me, like she's overacting it. But I quite enjoy it. I mean, I believe there's some scandal this week about
it's
boob armor.
It's good. Yeah.
Armor this week? The internet went mad over boob armor. What's that about?
Of course they did. Of course they did, because, you know, we can't have boob armor. But anyway... So Mandalorian has been good. The potential for it to be great, though, is right there. And I just feel like they are forcing the kid-friendly aspect to it, which, again, I get. But I loved Rogue One. Rogue One was such a refreshing, serious tone for Star Wars. And it should be where Star Wars goes. And unfortunately, Disney is not letting that happen. And so we are stuck with what we have, which is kid-friendly, Jar Jar Binks, funny, slapsticky moments that I don't want. I don't want that in my Star Wars anymore. Huh. I've seen a better Star Wars. I've seen a better path. Speaking of paths, we are going to transition to... talk about games, and I'll start it off because that really is what we need to talk about. Let's talk about video games.
I want to play a game.
You are.
are one pathetic loser.
So we are mid-month, so I'm not going to worry about trying to go through the monthly freebies. I know we've talked about that already to death, so we can skip past this for sake of saving some time. Instead, we're going to talk about Next Generation, because part of my week was getting the Series X delivered on launch day and getting that hooked up. And the whole experience, you know, it's interesting. Everybody was talking about the packaging. It is a very nice package in terms of the box that the Xbox Series X comes in. But honestly, it's just a box. So, I mean, you know, they angled it.
It's never got that.
I don't quite understand the level of hype it got. That aside, setup on that Xbox is incredibly easy. What I found interesting was you can do it through a phone, the phone app. And mm-hmm. I had that box set up in probably 10 minutes or less. I mean, probably would have been faster, but I took my time a little bit with a couple things. But I had to switch out a couple cables because I wanted to use the new HDMI cable. And that is an important thing to remember. If you do get a new Series X, you know, they ship a new cable with it. If you're thinking you can use your cable from your 1X or other HDMI cables, don't. You want the new. It's an ultra high speed HDMI cable.
How long is it?
That's a good question. It might be 6 feet, I think.
So I'll have to move where mine sits, because mine sits here beside me, but the TV is way over there. So I've got a 20-foot gold.
You might need to invest in a new cable. Or move it. Yeah, one of the two. In terms of size, so it wasn't as big as I anticipated. And I think it's just because all of the imagery I'd been seeing, it makes it look really big. It's not.
Kim, I'm sorry. Tall. Okay. I know he hears that all the time. But seriously, come on. Okay.
Honestly.
I thought it would be bigger.
We have to have the size conversation. We have to have the size conversation.
Dear God, just seen your face.
I know. the worst part is I thought it was going to be both taller and wider than it actually was. And
don't we all?
Yeah, I know. Famous last words. So I got it out of the box, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to have to move the shelving around. I thought I was going to have to move potentially a shelf or two around. Turns out I have plenty of space within the existing confines of where I was going to put it. So I got it all hooked up. It is much heavier than I anticipated.
Well, I heard that.
So there you go, Kim. Yep. So it might not be the tallest or the widest, but it's definitely the beefiest. that aside, I think one of the things that both Microsoft and Sony have really struggled with in this next gen is talking about the differences these consoles are going to bring to your experience. Okay. And I can say, honestly, from a visual standpoint, mm-hmm. you're not going to be like, oh my God, this looks so much better than last gen. Especially if you have any of the mid-gen console refreshes. If you have a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X, I think visually they're not going to be – it's not going to be this leap.
It's too early. It is too early.
Well, I don't know that that's going to happen, though. I honestly don't know. Okay. I mean, there will be subtle things like the ray tracing reflections absolutely are great and cool. But I think if you're not looking for them, you're not necessarily going to see that difference.
Yeah.
And we were already seeing things in 4K, so having it display in 4K now is not that big of a leap. Mm. Where the differences really come in, and it's kind of twofold. It is the fidelity of the movement. Things are much smoother now. The games play smoother, but it really is the time in which you are spending looking at loading screens or waiting for things to boot up.
Questions.
Yes.
So
answers.
Does it work just like an Xbox One? So, I mean, can I just drop into your chat and all that sort of stuff again? Is that normal?
100%.
Absolutely.
Everything is it is absolutely the same user interface for the Series X as it was on the One X. The only difference is the dynamic backgrounds. So, you know, that is a difference that you have these dynamic backgrounds now. So you have like this little wave background that kind of goes across the screen. But other than that, you still can use screenshots if you want. You can still use your achievement shots for your background instead. But that really is the only difference to the user interface.
Okay, so when you're going to play a game to push the boundaries of this console, like Gems of War, will it play normally? Right. Will it? You know, can you fire that up now? Does it boot into a shell like a 360 game for Xbox One's games, or is there a difference when you're playing a Xbox One to a Series X game?
So here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. The difference really is in the speed of getting into your games and the startup of the console. So back with my One X, when I would turn on the TV and start up the console, my TV would pull up the, you know, the HDMI input signal and be on, and the One X would come on, and I would see kind of that moment of it saying, you know, logging in and kind of booting up. Here, the Series X beats my TV to being ready. So my TV HDMI switches over to the input, and the Series X is already up and running. So I'm already in the dashboard screen. So that is a decided difference. It fires up way faster. The games themselves, it will vary from game to game, but the speed at which you get into the games also is much faster. So Watch Dogs, for instance, when I was at the menu screen and I would hit continue to start the game up, Watch Dogs Legions, that is, on the One X, I timed it out. It took just over a minute for me to go from that button press to get into the game. For the Series X, it took 13 seconds.
Wow.
So,
nice.
So are these games that are preloaded on your Xbox in digital, let's say?
They are digital games, yes.
Yeah.
I pretty much only do digital games at this point. So Wasteland 3, similar. I put it onto the internal hard drive, and the load times are dramatically different. And it makes that game much more playable for me now, because one of my biggest complaints with Wasteland 3 on the consoles was the load times. They just, you know, when you had to load into an area, it really just seemed like it dragged, you know, it just dragged. And so that is decidedly different. And I don't have an experience of Assassin's Creed Valhalla in terms of it being on the One X. I didn't play it on the One X, but I've played it on the Series X. Plays great. It's funny. Watch Dogs, for me, the original Watch Dogs, felt like it was kind of an Assassin's Creed kind of game, but just in the Watch Dogs universe. And this go-round, Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Watch Dogs Legions feel very different. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I think, really is continuing the formula of Odyssey and Origins in being what I'll call Assassin's Creed RPG. And I think Watch Dogs Legion has really carved out its space, for this game at least, in being more about a stealthy, almost puzzle solving, for kind of a weird way to say it. But I don't play it really like a shooter. Just prior to coming onto the show, I was playing and I was spending time trying to infiltrate this compound and get some data. And I use drones to kind of circle around the encampment, if you will, or the compound. And I was taking guards out using the drone and triggering traps and distracting the guards, that kind of thing. And then ultimately I went in with my character after I pretty much eliminated almost all of the guards. And it was really puzzle solving, trying to figure out how I could lure them into traps and get, so, you know, it just was a different feel. So I was happy about that because my fear was Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Watch Dogs were going to feel very similar. But I'm happy to say that they don't feel at all similar. Very different games. And Wastelands 3 continues to be fantastic.
Good.
I love all of the decision making you have to do in that game. It is constantly throwing situations at you that put you, you have to think about your decisions and how it's going to impact not only the story, but your team. And you really need to try and play true to whichever direction you're trying to take your character. For a while, I was really trying to kind of tip, you know, kind of do the balancing act of being, you know, not too good or not too bad. And finally, I've kind of just swung it to being, I'm going to be that law-abiding ranger, because it just made the most sense. And it also, for the makeup of my team, made the most sense.
Hmm. Okay. But, so really, really cool thing then. The controller is smaller.
Yes.
Is that right?
It's slightly smaller. It's not real noticeable in terms of how small it is. And from my perspective, the real difference with the controller compared to the original Xbox One controllers is the textured grips. It's the same on the Elite Series 2 controller.
Okay.
So the texturing on the underside, but it just has a nice feel, and I think the way they built the controller also, it doesn't feel too light, and it feels solid but not in a heavy way. And I maybe that doesn't make sense. I don't know. But the other thing I love about the new controller is the D-pad. The D-pad is really clicky. So unlike the other D-pads where you didn't really have a click to it, this D-pad is very clicky, and it is perfect in a game like Tetris. You know, they have the new Tetris Effect game that's out there as well that I gave a test run for. And so the clickiness of it is just perfect. I mean, when you hear the clicking, you know the inputs are registering. And, you know, overall the controller feels great. I will say this. Hearing the recent input about the PS5's controller, I really do wish Microsoft had gone the route of maybe doing some haptic feedbacks into the triggers. I think that is a really neat kind of forward-thinking idea for the controllers. And maybe we'll see Microsoft come out with a, you know, Elite Series 3 that will have that in there and pave the way for that being kind of a new standard. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that. It's going to be tough because PC will never have that with mouse and keyboard. But I've heard some really great things, and I think if there's one thing I really want to praise, you know, Sony and PlayStation for, it is that haptic controller controller. That seems to really be a really well thought out piece of kit that they've done. So anyway, that's okay, it for me.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to get my hands on one.
But
my new console did arrive this week, Greg.
Ah, which was this one?
This one. So I had this on I forgot all about it. This is the Nintendo Game & Watch from old school times. And this is a lovely little piece of kit. It really is very, very nice. I just done something I hadn't seen before. It was weird. Okay, so you have the clock, you have the original game, like a ball, which is like, you know, really just you know, the juggling game. But
right.
On it comes with Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2. The sound is fantastic. The quality of the screen is superb. And a few people have got them, and it's a lovely little collector's item. I'm very, very impressed with it. It's not that much bigger. Two credit cards, I suppose. You quite happily slot it into your pocket. So just a lovely thing. I wonder if they'll bring out a few more with other games on them. But a lovely little nod to how old it must be. I mean, these must be 30-year anniversary or something like that there. It must be at least 30, 50,
yeah.
20, yeah, 30, 35, 40 maybe even. I'm well impressed with this little boy. Probably will beat the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 out hands down. Because this has...
Oh, I'm sure.
This has a clock on it.
Oh, well, that makes all the difference in the world, the clock.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have an alarm clock like the original ones have back in the early 80s and stuff. So that's a downside. Lovely. If you're a little fan of little quirky consoles like I am, this would be the thing to get.
Hey, Robin, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So it's kind of a known fact.
Yes.
You don't like horror games.
Yeah.
And yet, I seem to be seeing you enjoying the torture that you're putting yourself through.
Life is so boring at the moment. Life is so boring. It's either that or shoot up some cocaine or something. I don't know. No, I love aliens. I love being chilled, not frightened. I love that again. I keep talking about Alan Wake, the Alan Wake hair on the back of your neck, the tension.
Right.
I had Aliens, Colonial Marines. Oh, sorry. Isolation, sorry, the poorer of the two games. I had Alien Isolation on the PS4, as I mentioned last week, and I bought it a long time ago for the Xbox, and I've started to play it. It's fab. Now, it does take quite a while. I'm not going to grattle over because it's an old game, but it does take quite a while before you meet the first xenomorph. But when you do meet it, and maybe it's just a thing of the old Xbox, it records that moment. Xbox automatically records a clip, which I fired up to Twitter. And yes, I did scream like a... Excuse me, Kim. I did scream like a little girl, because I'm out here, the light's dark, and I walk into this thing, this transport tram, turn round, and there's this slathering thing biting me. Can't get away.
Saying hello.
But the game itself looks really, really good. It isn't all about the alien. You don't go around as far as... you have a gun, but I don't think it's a lot of good to the alien. It's more about sneaking around and avoiding the humans that are on the space station. And also, there are robots. I got the robots in the PlayStation 4 version. So, robots. So, I'm working my way through it. But you're right. I don't like being frightened too much. That thing that I played a few weeks ago, I just couldn't go back to it. Resident Evil?
Resident Evil.
Holy crap. Even talking about it now. Oh, no. No. So, Aliens Isolation. Yeah. I'm having fun with it. No, fun. Tension. I'm having tension with it.
Oh. And real quick, I see a note here, ready for Jedi.
Oh, yes. Jedi Fallen Order is now available on EA Access, so I have it downloaded and primed, ready to go. So I'm looking forward to that. That seems like that a good thing.
Fantastic game. Yeah.
You'll love that.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, pick the ginger by the toe. Pete, let's talk about your games. Oh, wow. What's been going on with you?
This is gonna be fun.
By the way, Pete, real quickly, I need a big thanks to you, because you helped me through the final hours of my Extra Life, and I must say, until you jumped in, I was in that wavering, like, oh God, this is going to be really rough the last couple hours. And yet, you came in, we played Warzone, and time flew by. So that was fun. Thank you for that.
That's all right. It was really good, wasn't it?
It was. It was.
Well, Kim's been playing this game too, so I'm going to let Kim talk about Titanfall, because I spoke about it slightly last week, but I've finished it just the same as Kim has. I think you've finished it now, haven't you, Kim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I finished it before you did. So.
Oh, snap. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the next one, what do you think?
I liked it. I really did. Which I thought I would, because I liked the first Titanfall. And I'm telling you what, I got attached to that fucking Titan. The end part there it was bad enough when the first part happened and you thought that was it, and then that last part happened and you're like, son of a bitch.
BT.
Yeah. You know, but
Yes.
Yeah, but then you watch the end credit scene, and that kind of brought me back a little bit. And then I thought to myself, if they don't make a Titanfall 3, I'm going to fucking riot. So.
Solid story. Solid gameplay.
And so far, they haven't.
What I know, right? Oh, well, they did mention it, though, here a while back, that they might, you know, it's there, I guess. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. You know, I didn't really think they could come up with much of a story about a guy and his robot, but hey, guess what? They did. So, and it was good. I mean, some of the parts of that story, though, were balls fucking hard, and I'm on easy. So, you know, I hate to think what the rest of you did if you played it on, like, normal or something harder than even that, because there were some of those parts it took me 3 or 4 times to you know, do anything with. So, right, and wall running at, like, 3 a.m. is not a good idea. I'm just putting that out there.
Never is.
Wall running at 3 a.m. I felt like my robot when you watch it constantly vacuum and then run into the wall, like, repeatedly, and then back up and run into the wall. That's what I felt like at 3 a.m. trying to wall run. So,
Pete, what about you? What did you think? What was your overall thoughts?
I thought the campaign was really good. It was that relationship that you could develop with your Titan, which I thought was ace. I felt like you bonded with him as more time went on. And I got two things with this game, right? One thing was it reminded me of Crackdown 3. You know, when you got that overemphasized drama when you've got a boss and there's this boss that comes on and he's going to kick your ass or she's going to kick your ass, and then you know that you're just going to obliterate this thing. And
yep,
to me, it just seemed like it just wasn't needed, all of that drama. It was just like, this is Kane.
I can honestly say I did not see this coming. I don't think anybody in the universe saw a comparison of Crackdown 3 and Titanfall 2.
Greg, the problem is, hold on, you're just too good at games. Yeah? This was the same problem with Aliens Colonial Marines. People didn't play it on a hard enough level, so the bosses were too, and the aliens were too easy. And this is the same thing here. You weren't playing it on a hard enough level, or you're just too good at games. Which one is it?
Crackdown. I played on medium or normal or hard. I normally play games on normal or hard. This game, just because I wanted to just experience it as a story, I just played it on easy, same as Kim. It was. I found it pretty easy. I've sailed through all of it. It just reminded me of Crackdown 3. That whole drama of when a boss comes up and it's just like, "Hey, this is me, and I'm going to kick your ass," and blah blah blah. And it's just like, there's all this unnecessary dialogue just to fight this boss, and then it was all over. You knew that you was going to waste this person. So why give me all of that? But
because you were on easy. You were on easy. It did what it said on the tin.
Right back. So
I would say I'd go back and play it on hard just to prove that. I mean, I played all the bridge constructor and I did all of the levels, which you said I wouldn't do. So I could play games that are hard, I could probably play this and have the same thing and probably want to throw the controller up against the wall. But that's just what it reminded me of, and I'm allowed an opinion.
Bridge Constructor is a better comparison than and Crackdown 3. We can see that.
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. I really enjoyed the campaign. I thought it was really, really good. It was a way better introduction to that type of game than us playing Halo Reach. I thought it was a far better game. And there was another thing about it that I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was now. I've been thrown off track. That was it. There was...
Oh, sorry, I was just ending the show there.
I wish there would have been like a permadeath option or something where... something that was written into the story where if you Titan or you would die, then it would be a new Titan or a new character. It just seemed like this Cooper was just absolutely invincible and everybody around him was just dying.
Easy mode.
No, but it's even if you'd have played it on very difficult, the story would have same, and this guy would have gone through this very difficult game, dying 300 times over, getting to the end, and still being like the hero. It's just like, oh no, I'd rather like, you know, anyway. But I'm being cynical. I think I've just been a bit too.
You know what you're doing, Pete? You're talking your way off the show. That's what you're doing. That's really what's happening here.
No, because I said Halo was shit like months ago, so I'm still here, so I'm fine. You ain't gonna get to me that easily. So,
damn it.
I played Titanfall along with Kim, and I thought that was really, really good. I've gone back in time a little bit. I went onto my PC and I thought I'd fire up a game called Rocksmith, and this is from 2014. And it's developed and published by Ubisoft, and it's almost like Rock Band. So you can plug your electric or semi-acoustic guitar into your PC. That comes with a USB and an audio jack to plug into your guitar, and you can tune it all through the menus, and you just play along and play music on a real guitar.
You're on the screen right now? You're on the screen right now playing it?
It's going to be so just ridiculous.
You look like a rock star.
So, I don't know what you can say about this. I just wanted to go back, and I saw the guitar over the other side of the room when I was clearing my loft out last week, and I just thought, I want another crack at it. So, I fired that up, and I really enjoyed it. I played through about, I don't know, six tracks, and went through some different riff routines, and you could do a tutorial where you just pick up different things like chords and plucking of the strings and all these different techniques, and it shows you very basic basic techniques to get you through these early parts of the tutorial, and I really enjoyed it. It was just a fun time. What else I played? Oh, Undertale. My son, right, Leo, is an absolute like. It's just an absolute fanboy of Sans, Papyrus, Undertales, Roblox. He loves all of this stuff, and I saw it on PS4. It was 50% discounted, so it was only £7. I just thought I'm going to buy it and see what all the crack's about. So it's like this 8-bit RPG. As you play as this, I'm trying to think of her name now. Chira, I can't remember. As you play as this person, anyway, who has got lost, and you've got to work your way all the way up to the ground again. You're in this weird universe or this weird place, and it's just this crazy 8-bit game that's difficult as hell. So that's the other thing.
People talk about this with great respect. There's a really good story to it.
Yeah, you lose me at 8-bit though. I can't do 8-bit games.
But it's good. It's
no.
Just
no.
Never mind. No. it's very challenging, and it's addictive. I think you get a little bit sucked into the story. It's very. My son was playing along with me, and it was really, really good. I'll go back to it. I can't say it's like an absolute. Game, but yeah, I think the respect comes from how difficult it is, because it is tough as shit, man. It's rock hard.
You should have played Titanfall 2 on difficulty. That was harder.
Do you know what? The next game, you two, right? You jizz over, you pair, right? I'm going to play it on the hardest setting. And
I love you, Pete. I love you. Oh. All right. In the interest of trying to maintain a quickie, Kim, let's dive into what else you played besides Titanfall 2.
Okay, well, on Titanfall 2, sometime we need to play some multiplayer.
Yes.
I'm kind of itching to play a little multiplayer, because I did enjoy that. So, anyway, I played some more MLR, of course. One funny thing about that, I've noticed, like, killing wolves, like animals, bears and stuff, it's funny that you can collect gold off of them. Like, all I can sit here and think is, do wolves have pockets? I mean, why are they packing gold? I don't know. Did they eat it? And maybe I'm cutting it out of their entrails? I don't know.
It's a good investment strategy. Everybody should carry a little bit of raw gold with them.
The funny thing is, you're not so that game is not the only one to do that. Because Wasteland 3, similar thing. You will kill like wild animals, and then you go to loot their body, and you know, normally when you're looting the creatures, you'll get things like the skins and the
meat, that kind
of thing. But then every once in a while, there'll be like a piece of tech or something in there, and it's like, right. What did you eat this? Is that what happened?
Exactly.
Did the animals swallow this whole?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm playing Red Dead, and all I ever got from them was, like, meat and bones and skin. No gold there, but I'm playing MLR, and, I mean, they're walking around with, like, $1,000 in their coat, and I'm like, how does that happen? You know, but anyway, I'm still enjoying MLR. I'm kind of going through some quests now that, you know, are they good quests? Are they going to be evil quests? You know, what are they? And honestly, it's not like Fable. It makes no difference if you're evil or you're not evil. It makes no difference one way or the other. Other than maybe, like, the guards might hate you, or you might get, like, a fine which you can pay off. Or if your persuasion's high enough, you can talk your ass out of jail. So, you know, it's all good.
I remember I really liked Amalur, but I remember feeling like it really fell short of the promise of what they had been throwing out there for the game.
Well, because they said it was supposed to be a lot bigger than what it is, but they kind of run out of time and maybe money, I guess. So they kind of had to get something out there. So.
Greg knows all about that.
So I don't know. Right? But anyway, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm kind of getting bogged down in like the side quest thing, so I'm starting to wonder maybe I shouldn't like avoid the side quest for a while and get a little more into the main story part of it. But we'll see. I do that anyway with Skyrim and Dragon Age and all them. I always end up doing like a bunch of freaking side quests before carrying on with the main thing anyway.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm trying to is also with like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Watch Dogs. I'm actually avoiding a lot of the side quests. I lose interest in these big open world games when I get too engrossed in sidetracks, because then suddenly the game just feels so long.
Exactly. Well, and I've got one now where this guy is like sloughing on his job, so he's expecting me to go and kill all these bad guys for him while he sits on his ass and doesn't do anything. So every time I go back to him and tell him I've killed so and so, he's like, "Okay, well, I've got another guy," and I'm almost to the point now. I'm like, "You know what? Fuck you. Kill your own bad guys." You know. I may be the biggest head honcho in the world in this game, but, you know, get your own, you know, do your own duties. But, anyway, other than that, we played some Minecraft Dungeons. Tony was down this weekend, so he wanted to play some Minecraft Dungeons, and I wanted to show off the big TV and how good it all looked. And, so yeah, we played a little Minecraft Dungeons. I think it was the Creepy Crypt. I think it was one of the I don't know what you want to call it, the little story of the week or whatever you want to call it, daily tasks or whatever. So, it's still good. So.
Right on. By the way, just to real quickly to jump back into Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you know, one of the things about Assassin's Creed Odyssey, that you get a choice of picking your character, male or female. And in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it was like the clear character to play was the female character by all accounts. It was just better voice acted. In Valhalla, I can safely say they are both on par with one another, so you can, you know, play whichever, you know, sex you want to play. It's not going to matter. You won't feel like you're getting the bad version, so to speak. And funny thing, as I was venturing through the village, I came across one of the characters that I'm 99.9% sure is the same character model of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The female character was being played by an NPC character in Valhalla, just with a different name, but it was like the same face, hairstyle, the braid, the coming over the shoulders, the whole nine yards. So I laughed a little bit. I've seen you,
Greg. Have you experienced any bugs in that game? Because some people have really complained about that.
I haven't experienced any bugs in Valhalla. Well, I should say that. There are, so every once in a while when you are playing against somebody, or you know, you're fighting and you kill a character with a big hit, you'll see them kind of like skid across the ground like with a super powerful blow type thing, and it looks a little glitchy, but nothing like crazy. In Watch Dogs Legion, I actually had a funny moment, and I posted this up in one of our WhatsApp app chat groups. So I was looking at the ray tracing, I was looking at the how the reflections were working in a big storefront window. And as I'm sitting there, I'm watching all of the background. So like I literally could watch the street passing me by in the background in real time. And that was kind of a really cool moment. And then I looked at my character and I'm like, holy shit, I've got my gun out. Because in Legions, you can, you know, bring your gun out or hide it. And, you know, obviously, if you have your weapon out, it's going to draw attention. But then I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have my gun out. And so in the real world, my character was just sitting there with both his hands at his side. But in the image, the reflection on the store window, I had my pistol in my hand. So it was one of those funny moments where I'm like, all right. So I screen captured that and I did a Where's Waldo? Yeah. So anyway. All right. I think we've covered everything. Okay. Anybody else have anything?
No. Stuff. Want my new consoles? Want them? Want them? If you've got new consoles, let us know how you're getting on with them, please. At @OC_podcast.
Yeah, I really do. You know, I'll just kind of reiterate on the new consoles. The time in which your downtime is just, it's so less now, and that's the real element of these consoles. And that was the thing that was going to be the hardest for them to truly show, for people to understand, is just how much you're not spending in menus, how much you are not waiting for the console to boot up or load up.
It sounds like the difference between Windows 7 and Windows 10, the loading time. You're just waiting forever for Windows 7.
Yeah.
Got a Windows 7 at work, and it's just like, oh, my God. But, like, yeah, Windows 10, it's just instant. It's loaded before you've even looked at the monitor. Sounds like it's not going to do me any favors, though. Still running at 1080p.
Well, and here's some good advice as well for those worried about storage, and this is actually something I just thought of. And probably something we should talk about in the news section on one hand, but I'll just say on the Series X, I took both of my USB drives. So I had a 5 terabyte kind of standard portable drive, and then I bought an actual 2 terabyte SSD drive, NVMe SSD drive that uses USB 3.0. I had games on those, and I plugged those into the console. At first, it didn't recognize the newer 2 terabyte DAC drive, but then I just replugged it in, and it recognized it. And so all my games were sitting on those drives, and then it was a real easy management situation of telling what games I wanted to move over. The process is still the same. You can manage your drives easily. And so old Xbox One games, I can keep on those older drives, and it will work off those older drives. And so then you just navigate over your new game to the new drive, the internal drive of the Series X. So for instance, like Watch Dogs Legion, there was an upgrade download. So when I moved it over to the internal drive of the Series X, it actually told me, hey, there's an upgrade download for this. And it did the upgrade for me, so that was great. Very easy to navigate, very easy to use. So
cool.
So that's it. That's everything. We do have one piece of news, Rob, we should probably talk about. Well, there's a couple things to talk about.
Here is the fucking news.
So obviously consoles have come out. And this is I didn't put this in our news section, but I reminded myself of this piece of news and I forgot to post it. Sony basically told people you can't use the external NVMe drive expansion slot yet. So they're telling people not to go out and buy drives for the PS5 right now. The other piece of news that we came to learn, and this probably was learned a little bit ago, but the internal drive on the PS5 is soldered into the console. So unlike the PlayStation 4, where you could actually switch out the internal drive on the console, on the PlayStation 5, you won't be able to do that. You will have to use the existing internal drive, and then you'll have to buy an external drive to plug into it. So that was just a little tidbit that came up over this past week. You know, we've had a lot of kind of fake news about consoles having problems. I think there was, people posting up pictures of the Xbox Series X smoking. Turns out people were blowing vape smoke into the actual console. and showing the smoke coming up out of it. I've heard some other rumors, you know, with regards to the PlayStation 5 in terms of it making a whirling sound, which, you know, people are talking about coil whine. Don't jump to conclusions on these things. There are going to be bad consoles. There's going to be hardware that just, you know, you are the unlucky one. But I don't think there's any reason for anybody to panic and feel like there is some kind of big, massive situation happening with either of these consoles. They seem to be good pieces of kit and being well received. So just throwing that out there. All right. Extra Life quick update. We are at, I think, still $2,800 basically raised for, in Gary Lever's account. So really big thanks to everybody that turned out and donated to Extra Life, you know, leading up to last weekend's event. I talked to your brother, Mike, yesterday, Pete, and he is going to try and do his event in December, according to him. So we will hopefully be able to add to the total for Gary Lever. And just a really great cause. And overall, the VG Hub team did fantastic. We beat our goal of $6,000. So big cheers to the whole team for all the efforts put in. Absolutely. Yeah. I think unless anybody else has some news that we think we need to talk about, we can just jump into some new releases. We got games coming out, Kim. You've got coronavirus, but let's talk about games anyway.
All righty. Yeah, your new releases for November 15th through the 21st are Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, Stadia, and PC on November 17th. Monster Truck Championship for the Switch on the 19th. Star Renegade for the Xbox One and Switch also on the 19th. Hyrule Warriors, right? Age of Calamity for the Switch on November 20th. And Katamari Damacy Reroll, try saying that one five times fast, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, also on the 20th as well. Those are your new releases. After last week's list, this is like super short.
I know. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to hit another wave come next week. But
probably.
Yeah, it's the holiday time frame. That's mm-hmm. It's fun.
Okay.
Robin.
Yeah, I actually think I see what my congestion problem is with OBS. So I've just dynamically changed bitrate to manage congestion, and I can't tick it right now. So yeah, next time.
I really thought it was all the porn you were running in the background.
I thought
605 shows. Okay, victory achieved. This is the ongoing competition that we have, that we've given away thousands, nay, not thousands, millions of pounds over the years to lucky people who enter. And all you have to do to enter is finish a game, take a photograph of yourself with the credits in the background, and tweet that off to @OC_podcast or Parler @OC_podcast or any way you want to get it to us. Our next draw will be on New Year's Eve. And you'll win $20 or £15 to spend on whatever you want, really. People that finish games this week. Excuse me. COVID. Fletch. Daniel was the first person to finish a game on an Xbox Series X and put it to victory achieved. He will always hold that status as the first person to finish a game in the world, because we are the de facto place where people record the finishing of games. And he finished a Tell Me Why. John Mouse, he's working his way in chronological order for all of the Assassin's Creed games, and he has now finished Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Wow.
Yeah,
the first
that's
person,
a tall order.
Yeah. Kim was the first person in our group this week to finish Titanfall 2. And,
Robin, I believe we have to rephrase that. Kim was the first person
ever
in our group this week,
yeah,
to finish Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was the first person to finish it without dying.
Because you were on easy mode.
Yeah, I'm on easy mode.
That's why you didn't die.
I did die. I died about 10 times. I'm only
so
joking, Kim.
We're very suspicious. We are very suspicious of you playing together. So get a room. Mr. Miyagi, 1984, who's out in Australia, who is turning into this real connoisseur of old games and how to play them. He played and finished a 007 Nightfire on an emulator on the PC, wow. Which is an 18-year-old game. So very well done to everybody that finished games. And this is still appropriate this week. Let's play the sound of a girl in a day-glow jacket on her knees screaming at the sky.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Oh, yeah, so. It saddens me that your description actually matches. all right. Well, look, somebody wanted a quickie. I think we have delivered on that. Pete, look, if well, you know what, Robin, I would really love to hear Nicole's voice. Do you think we could do that? I haven't heard her voice in forever and a day.
We are family.
Hello. So close, and yet no.
Thank you very much. Love it.
No, that's not it. No. Oh, there you go.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I find your lack of empathy vomitous.
All right. On that note, Pete, why don't you lead the charge on shoutouts?
Okay. There was a charity event this week in the UK called Children in Need. And there's a guy who is
fucking children.
Published a few books. His name's Joe Wicks. And he's published a few books called Leaning 15. So he's done a few cookery books, and like, he's this real ambassador of fitness and 15-minute HIIT workouts. And I was really shocked to see this actually from him. He did a 24-hour workout. So instead of our little Extra Life 24-hour gamathons, he worked out for 24 hours, which I thought was like, that was insane. He raised over £1 million.
I did that once. Ever... I got calluses on my hand. Long time ago, teenager.
You wouldn't want to hear that.
So yeah, he managed to do that. I caught on to that for a couple of hours just to have a look, and Joe Wicks, and. It was a real good, you know, watch. I don't know how he did it, man. Fair play to him. 24 hours, just had a few shower breaks here and there, and a few five minute protein shakes. But he did it, raised over $1 million. So fair play to him. That's pretty much me. I'll hand you over to Mr. Tate.
Yeah. There's a vicious rumor there that Boss Wave might be coming back on the airwaves again. Yeah, all right, good lads. Get back there and do your thing. I would like to see that. That would be really cool to get the old crew back together again. So do it. Do it now. What else? Nah, that's it. Happy Christmas, everybody. That will be the first dimension of this year. It's coming. We're all going to get together for Thanksgiving. We're all going to get together for Christmas. And we can spend it all together in one big, massive group in the local jail. After we're arrested for getting together. Okay. All right. Okay, that missed the mark completely. Watch Youth with Michael Caine. It's really good. Okay. All right. Right. Kim, say something nice. Help me.
I'll try. I'm going to shout out our shatters. We've had, well, three. Of course, the very first one was Hardly Dan. Lurks and Pilch just showed up today. So thanks for jumping in chat. Other than that, shout out to you guys. Fun show, like always. I hope Pete appreciated his quickie. other than that, I hope everybody has a good week. and you know, don't get corona. So other than that, famous, how about you there, Tank Top?
Famous last words, don't get corona. If it was just that easy, you know?
Right?
Just saying. If all you had to say was, I'm not getting corona. my, what a world we live in.
I know.
Look, thank you to the three of you. It has been a fun show. I think it will come across okay audio-wise, at least from my ears. It didn't sound too terribly bad, even though, like, a minute before we were getting on the air, it was horrible. go figure. I need to shout out my wife. She had a girls' getaway weekend, well-deserved for her, so I hope she got a good rest, a massage, maybe a happy ending, who knows. I wanted her to have fun. Shout-out to my gym, because it was actually nice to go back to the gym. Even though I had to wear a mask the whole time, still, it was open. It felt almost normal, except for everybody looked like Darth Vader. yeah. All right, let's get out of here.
Oh, that reminds me. I was going to say, I saw a mask the other day on Facebook, and I kid you not, it made you look like Darth Helmet off of Spaceballs.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, that's a win. That needs to be purchased.
Right, everybody.
I'll have to see if I can find it again, but yeah.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.